May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to God. Amen. Please be seated. When President Carter died a little over a year ago, several obituaries described him as the first born-again U.S. president. Now, almost every U.S. president before him had been some kind of Christian. Thomas Jefferson was a little hard to pin down, and four were Unitarian, which some consider Christians and some do not. But other than that, according to Wikipedia, before President Carter, 9 U.S. presidents were Episcopalian, 6 were some kind of Presbyterian, 3 were some kind of Methodist, 3 were some kind of Baptist, 2 were Dutch Reformed, 2 were Disciples of Christ, 2 were non-denominational, 2 were Quaker, 2 were Congregationalists, though one of those later became Episcopalian, and 1 was Roman Catholic. And so clearly, Jimmy Carter was not the first Christian president, but a lot was made at the time of the way he described himself as a born-again Christian. Obviously, it's an old phrase, going all the way back to Jesus. The word in John can be translated again, or from above, or anew. In the 1950s and 60s, though, Billy Graham and some other evangelical Christians started using the phrase, and at some point along the way, its meaning began to narrow. It came to represent a particular kind of religious experience that produced a particular kind of relationship with Jesus, and often a particular way of understanding the Bible that not all Christians share. So-called born-again Christians became the Christians most likely to read the Bible literally, align with the religious rite, and preach that those whose faith differed from theirs would be separated from God for all eternity. But I don't think that's how President Carter understood the journey. He wrote in his book, Living Faith, "Being born again didn't happen when I was 11, when he was baptized. For me, it has been an evolutionary thing. Rather than a flash of light or a sudden vision of God speaking, it involved a series of steps that have brought me steadily closer to Christ." And his remarkable life, I think, bore that out. And I think President Carter's understanding is closer to what Jesus meant when he told Nicodemus, "No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." No one can perceive or grasp or understand. That's what that word "see" means. No one can get the kingdom of God without being born from above. Now, Nicodemus took it all literally, which is often a mistake with Jesus. Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus repeated the language and explained, "You're not entering a womb, a physical place. You are entering the kingdom of God. And to do that, you must be born from above." Now, like the phrase "born again," we've often misunderstood the phrase "kingdom of God." For many, it came to mean heaven or what happens to us after we die, which frankly is a mystery and there's no real way for us to know. When Jesus spoke of the kingdom of God, he seems to have meant the world right now as God wants it to be. A world ruled by God's values, not an emperor's. A movement of people spreading God's reign of love. In fact, the phrase "eternal life" in John 3:16 is better translated "the life of the ages." The life of God, the best life possible, the ideal life. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And to grasp that, Jesus said, you must be born anew, born from above, born again. For a few Sundays this past February, some of us watched a recording of a talk by our presiding bishop, Sean Rowe. He was speaking with clergy in our diocese last fall. Among other things, he talked about the need to claim God's imagination rather than Pharaoh's imagination. In the story of the Exodus in the Bible, we see Pharaoh's imagination at work. Pharaoh's imagination is all about rule by force, conquering other people, exploiting vulnerable people, extracting profit at any cost. God's imagination, on the other hand, is about setting people free, loving our enemies, caring for the vulnerable, welcoming the outcast and stranger, and making this world more like God's home. We all grow up seeing a world caught in Pharaoh's imagination. That's what we get used to. That's what seems normal to us. And so to see with God's imagination, we must be born again. Long before Jesus, Abraham and Sarah were born again in a way. We tend to skip over the part of their story that came before they followed God to the new land, but they had lived for years with infertility, a painful struggle for any couple then and now. And then tragedy struck. Abram's brother Haran, the father of Lot, died while Abram's father Terah was still alive. The death of a child is a particularly horrific grief. And Terah decided they needed to move. And so they all left Ur and went to a place called Haran. Now, whether it had always been called Haran or they named it after their lost son and brother is not clear, but either way, they were living in a memorial. And then Terah died. And that's when God called. In the midst of their grief, Abram and Sarai were willing to listen and imagine a life that they had never thought possible. And through that imagining, a whole world was blessed. And Paul said Abraham was able to do this because he believed that God gives life to the dead and calls into existence things that do not exist. By following God to a land he had never seen before, Abraham and Sarah were born again. President Carter seems to have had a similar experience after he lost his first race for governor of Georgia. A story from America Magazine described what happened. He told his sister Ruth, "I couldn't see what to do next. I'd done my best. I thought I was doing what God wanted me to do, and it seemed like I had been betrayed." And his sister said, "Look, sometimes a setback is God's way of giving you an opportunity to do greater things. You should look at any sort of tragedy, disillusionment, or failure as a means to reassess your goal and strengthen yourself and your attitude. Losing can be the greatest thing that has ever happened to you." And Mr. Carter said, "Ruth, that has got to be the most foolish thing I've ever heard." But it turned out to be true. His life was made new. He said, "I had a sense that I could build on my disappointment or failure and modify my positions and correct my mistakes." He started over. He was born anew. We fervently pray this day that the tragedy of war may lead eventually to new life for many, that our nation and many nations may be transformed into places of security, that our leaders will turn their hearts towards peace. All things are possible with God, and so we do not give up hope. But I ask you to think about yourself right now. What kind of fresh start do you need today? What does not exist in your life right now that you need for God to call into existence? What griefs are you carrying that only God can transform? Abraham and Sarah remind us it is never too late to cultivate God's imagination and be born again. Amen.